Thanks for tuning in to Conversations About Meaningful Things, the podcast where we dig into life, faith, and all the important questions. In a world that can feel isolating sometimes, we want to encourage you that you're not alone, that God loves you and isn't afraid of your questions. And that's the purpose of this podcast. In our time together, you can expect real talk, genuine interviews, and probably a few laughs along the way. Our hope is as you connect, you feel seen, loved, and encouraged as you take steps in your faith journey. So settle in and let's dive into the conversation. We're so happy to have you along.
Well, hello and welcome to another, hopefully, conversation about something that's meaningful to you. That is the podcast that you've found yourself wandered into, Conversations About Meaningful Things. My name is Steve. I'm one of the guys that kind of kicks things off and bats things around in our conversations. And the person I'm usually tossing the ball to is my friend Alex. How are you, Alex?
I'm doing well. I am here today.
As opposed to not being here?
Correct. Well, you said you usually pass the ball to. Maybe I'm not here today, but I am here.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, sometimes we have a guest and I kick it to that person, yes. You know. So, yeah, we're definitely physically here and hopefully we're dialed in as well and glad that you decided to dial in with us. I feel like we make a pretty good pair on this.
I think so. I mean, we've said this before, we're just kind of, this podcast has sort of became an extension of what we were already doing, hanging out in your office or in the hallways or out to lunch. It's one of those like, hey, we're already having these sort of conversations just throughout the week. Why don't we record a few of those and maybe it'll be helpful for other people as well. And if you're listening, hopefully you're listening because at least one of our ramblings in the past have been helpful and practical for you as well. I mean, I'll speak for myself. I don't claim to be an expert on any of what we talk about. I've just found like there's collective wisdom when you're talking with folks that have lived a bit of life and you're all trying to reach for the same goal together, which is seeking the truth, who God's revealed himself to be. And he said a lot of things about a lot of parts of our life, and that's what we aim to do.
Yeah, and I agree. You know, we're not... this is not a listen to the experts podcast. This is a, hey, what are people that are maybe a lot like me going through and how do they deal with it? And what does that look like? And what do they struggle with? And, but I think it's always good to be able to have connections like that. It's always good to be able to find someone else that, you know, their experience resonates with you or, you know, you can, pick up a little bit of help along the way and not just on a podcast, but I think just in life in general, you know, we've got some, usually some important connections in our lives, people that, we lean into and lean into us. And sometimes those are in very official capacities, like people we work with or, the people that, we have relationship with, as a spouse or in the business world, whatever. Sometimes it's more unofficial. It's just, a friend that we, you know, play a sport with, or they live around the corner and we're in the neighborhood and we walk our dogs and talk, you know, stuff like that. But I do think it's important, for us to kind of think about who are our connections and how do they impact our lives and how do we have an impact in the lives of those around us. I think some of those connections are really good and helpful, and some maybe you have to think about and be maybe more intentional because there could be some pitfalls in connections and relationships that way.
So what we're talking about today, and Steve, you're alluding to it, I don't think this phrase is original to you, but I heard it said from you.
Not much is original to me.
Well, if I heard it from you first, then you thought of the idea.
Okay, there we go.
But you use a phrase often when talking about our interactions with people, as followers of Christ, that we need to be choosy about who those direction setting relationships are.
Oh, yeah.
So people, and what you mean by that, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but how I've heard you describe it is, obviously, as followers of Christ, we're called to people. That means, you know, not just hanging out with only people that believe the same things we believe, other Christians, being little holy huddles. Like, we're called to reach others, but in key specific relationships that are setting the course of our life, who those people are matter.
Yeah. There's a few phrases that I use and come to mind, and I guess they're sort of original to me, but like being lights in dark places, like that's one of the things that you're referring to. Like, we don't just gather in a holy huddle, right?
Yeah.
And we're called to be salt and light in the world around us. And that means that we are getting outside of those circles, those holy huddles, so to speak.
Yeah.
But there's also a great deal of discernment and wisdom in what are the parameters of those connections and relationships, because we also see the wisdom of Scripture telling us to be careful, and that is the phrase I use, with direction-setting relationships. Mm-hmm. Like, am I connected to this person in a way that connection is going to help or impact directions in my life, decisions that I make? And, you know, most commonly that's in a marriage relationship or in a business partnership. Those are probably the two most common ones I can think of. Yeah. And, you know, if we're talking about relationships that potentially are direction setting for our lives, then we should be sure that we're both going in the same direction.
Yeah.
Otherwise, boy, you're setting yourself up for a lot of difficulty and heartache and potential disaster if you're not connected in that way.
Yeah.
Scripture tells us that, but let's just talk for a second about, but why is that? Why is that the truth? Why is that reality?
Yeah.
Why is that warning something that, you know, we should be mindful of?
Yeah. A couple of things come to mind when you ask the question. One, I think of Proverbs. King Solomon wrote most of that book in the scriptures, and it's just a series of really wise sayings. To my understanding, they're not necessarily commands. They're not like God saying you need to do this, but it's basically, hey, if you do these things, you're probably gonna get good results.
Yeah.
Likewise, if you don't do some of these things, you're probably gonna get not so great results. And Solomon writes in Proverbs 13, I just thought of this when you're saying this, he says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm.
Yeah.
he's saying, hey, if you want to be wise, if you want to gain wisdom, probably spend time with other people that are wise, that walk in wisdom. And likewise, hey, if you surround yourself with people that continue to make foolish decisions for their life, their finances, their direction, you're most likely going to be one of those people alongside with them.
Yeah. You know, it's an interesting, I like how you said that. The Proverbs isn't necessarily commands, but the phrase that came to mind is, like, we talk about this in, you know, business world and other services, and like, best practices. Like, for the believer, Proverbs is like the quintessential, here's best practices as a follower of Christ.
That's a really good way to put that. I like that.
And I think, you know, when we're thinking about that, there sometimes is a fine line of, okay, how much am I having a positive effect on those around me?
Mm-hmm.
And how much am I being affected negatively by those around me, so that when we're talking about, like, being lights in dark places, you know, having a positive impact in the world, the potential is that, you know, there could be an influence on me as an individual. So I think, you know, being very discerning about that is a really good thing. Yeah. We used to say, when I was doing youth ministry, you maybe said this as well, when that verse in Proverbs, if you want to be wise, walk with the wise, we used to say to students, show me your friends, I'll show you your future.
Yeah.
Because we tend to be like those that we most closely surround ourselves with.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
The old phrase, birds of a feather flock together.
Yeah.
But I think when we're considering who are my closest, who does have the greatest opportunity for influence, impact in my life and, and me and others. Don't you want that to be folks that are kind of going the same direction, have the same priorities, the same vision and expectations out of life?
Yeah.
Otherwise you're going to be fighting those pulls almost at every step at times.
Yeah.
You know, I think I've interacted with couples who, you know, they got married and they were excited about marriage, but they really weren't on the same page in a lot of key situations or key areas of life, whether it's, you know, how we handle our finances, whether it's what our thoughts or views and commitments are when it comes to faith, when it's has to do with kids, family planning, discipline. And, you know, you get down that road a little bit and all of a sudden you realize we're actually going two different roads. That's a minefield. And most people have an extremely difficult time navigating that because you're two people trying to have one relationship that you're both going two different directions.
Yeah.
And it's just the wisdom of scripture there, I think, you know, bears, and it bears not just for spouses, but, you know, in our business dealings, I think in, you know, other type of partnerships. And again, it's direction setting, right?
Yeah.
It's, I don't think scripture's saying like, you better not be friends with someone who doesn't believe like you do. Scripture says just the opposite of that.
Right.
But where it's direction setting, it's no, you know, if I have a, an employee or a business partner or something and, you know, their idea of success and getting ahead means doing things, cutting corners, well, sort of illegal things or whatever. Like, guess what? You're going down that road with them if you're in partnership.
Yep.
And so that's, I think, the wisdom of scripture there for us, not just from a faith standpoint, certainly from a faith standpoint, but boy, that's just really good practical advice of life, isn't it?
I agree. I mean, While you're saying that, I mean, I'm just thinking about, you know, arguably for us in the life of a believer, the biggest direction setting relationship that we have is with Jesus. No doubt. I mean, you read in the Gospels and Jesus is calling these young fishermen and tax collector and these guys that maybe had an idea of what they're getting into, but probably definitely, we know, didn't fully grasp what Jesus was calling them into.
Oh, yeah.
But he called them to follow him, which obviously was a life-altering, life-direction-changing relationship.
Yeah.
And he was fairly upfront about that. You know, he's talking to people and saying, hey, come follow me. And they're like, well, let me do this first. Let me do that first. And basically, it was like, you know, if you don't prioritize me, like you can't follow me.
Yeah.
So he was asking a lot from his followers to lay down their lives to follow him. So I am curious though, as you're saying that, you know, just like the disciples, maybe they weren't fully aware or didn't know how to be fully aware of who they were following right away. How often do you think we are unaware or not thinking through how we are letting people influence us or who we're actually following? Do you think we spend a good amount of time thinking through that? Or do you think do you think sometimes we can get caught up in, well, they're successful, so I'm going to just follow, or I'm going to, you know, partner up with this person without fully maybe counting the cost and sure. really thinking through that person's character.
Yeah. It's interesting. You reference back to the followers of Jesus and, you know, he told them like, consider the cost, you know, you really should make, basically what he said was you need to make wise decisions, right?
Yeah.
And it, you know, our idea of following today is, I think in a lot of cases, radically different than when Jesus invited people to follow him. Because in order to follow Jesus, like, they had to leave some things behind. It wasn't just like, oh, let me add being a fan of Jesus into my life. Right. It was a, it was an apprenticeship. It was a, come and model your life after me. Come and, you know, do things and live the way I'm teaching and showing you how to live. So from that standpoint, you know, following today has so many other, I'll say, less than connotations, right? It's, you know, it's a social media following. Like, I'm, well, I'm just going to keep track of this person.
Or doesn't cost us very much.
Doesn't cost us, or I'm not really modeling my life, or maybe I am and I don't realize it. And, and I'm choosing to model my life without actually looking comprehensively at what that means.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this person's successful. Let me try and do what they're doing, and not looking at, well, what's the cost of their success?
Yeah.
What's the focus of their success? Is it a monetary thing alone? Is it, you know, some sort of trying to, you know, achieve something in life? Is that, is that your goal? Is that your expectation of achievement? So, you know, I don't, I think because we have examples of people who pursue something and are disillusioned by it, which might be a good conversation at some point to talk about, but knowing that that happens quite a bit, or there's frustration in, I thought this was going to work and it didn't. I think the answer to the question is we probably don't think enough about the influences in our lives and you know, what motivates us to pursue or connect in different ways.
I think so too. And even arguably thinking through how we are, to use a biblical phrase or a phrase used throughout scripture a lot of time, like who we are yoking up with, like the agricultural society that Jesus lived in, and a lot of the apostles that wrote, like, they were familiar with a yoke that was placed between two cattle or, you know, animal to plow a field, and how if they weren't aligned properly, it would cause chaos. And I think even in our relationship with Christ, I find it really interesting. And I remember wrestling with this when Jesus is like, you've got people interested in you and you're like, you need to count the cost. Like, know that this is going to cost you your life, and challenging people, like, don't follow me unless you're all in.
Yeah.
And, I think the same, he asks us the same thing, like, really make sure that you are counting the cost and be all in. Don't, I think, and that's Jesus's heart for us. Like, he wants our heart. He wants not a piece of us. I think you painted a really great picture there, Steve, of he doesn't want a like and a subscribe. And here's this little sliver of your life that you give to me, and the rest is all yours to do whatever you want with. Our God is a jealous God. He wants all of us. I think starting there.
Yeah. And you mentioned that, that yoking, which is a word, you know, we don't use very often.
Yeah.
If ever.
Yeah.
Unless you're ordering eggs or something. But, you know, I think, to an agricultural society, that made a lot of sense. They would have understood that. So just so we kind of understand, and that's where I draw that principle of direction setting, you know, relationships. You know, you can have a bunch of cattle hanging out in the pasture, and they're hanging out, they're just doing whatever, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But the yoke was like, okay, it's time to go to work. It's time we're dealing with direction and purpose because there's a job to be done, and there's things that we need to get accomplished. And then the cattle were yoked together because they needed to be going the same direction at the same speed with the same focuses and purposes. That was the point of the yoke. That's that collar around the neck.
Yeah.
And so when scripture gives us that picture, then it's clearly a picture of like, hanging out, you know, chilling like that. There's no issue with that.
Yeah.
No problem at all. But when we're talking about what are you accomplishing? What are you getting done?
Yeah.
What are you partnering for a singular direction? Like those, that's where scripture warns us to be very, discerning in those relationships.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think we do well to do that. And again, I think that's a life principle where scripture, Scripture is not saying, well, this is really only for people of faith necessarily. Like, yeah. That's just really, and to me, that's one of those situations where whether you're a follower of Jesus or not, look at the wisdom of Scripture there. Like, that's just really good advice.
Yeah. It's like I've had conversations with friends in the past where they're like, I just can't find any good women to date or good people to, like, you know, be friends with and stuff. And you start taking inventory of, well, where do you spend most of your time? And it's like, well, I go to this bar or I go to this place. You're like, you tend to attract where you're at. And if you are in environments where you're the people that you want to be emulating your life after, or to use the terminology, to yoke with, to head in a direction that is going to get you somewhere. And this is whether you're a follower of Jesus or not, those people probably aren't spending time in those environments and arenas. And so maybe the first step is get yourself in environments where you're going to rub shoulders with folks that are emulating a life that you want to emulate. I think is a good place to start. But I'm curious, Steve, like, we've been talking about, maybe here's what to look for. Here are the kind of people that we want to be surrounding ourselves with and hopefully following, emulating our lives after. As a follower of Christ, obviously, first and foremost, our relationship with Him. But talk to that person for a moment who's going, well, that's great, but I'm already in a direction-setting relationship. I've already signed the paperwork. I am partnered with this person, and yeah, they're not a great direction-setting relationship. Or I'm already in a committed relationship with somebody that I'm realizing this is not a good situation. How do we navigate that when we're already there? We've already kind of crossed that line. We've already put that yoke together, so to speak. What does that look like for somebody in that situation?
Well, it probably looks messy.
I
mean, really, it does. And I think if we can have that mental picture, like, okay, so you got two people that were sort of at the same point, but now as you've started down roads, you're feeling the pull and the stress of the pull because you're wanting to go different directions. So I think, you know, one of the things to consider is, you know, having a conversation with that person about, hey, so, here's the tension I'm feeling. Here's the pull that we seem to be at odds, you know, to have a conversation. Maybe it is an opportunity to have some course correction and, you know, in a positive way, be more aligned. And, you know, to the person who's struggling with that, you know, I would say, you know, consider what your non-negotiables are, right? And maybe there is the opportunity. Well, I think there is always the opportunity, as long as there's long air in our lungs and blood in our veins. But, you know, maybe there is an opportunity for whether it's reconciliation or restoration or even just a coming together that's never occurred before. You know, one person sharing their priorities and the why behind their priorities can have a really positive impact on the other person.
Absolutely.
So I think be willing to have a conversation and just kind of put that on the table and say, you know, and I would say, you know, the sooner you do that, the better. Because, you know, think about the trajectory. If you can draw it, just, you know, you have one point, but then you start drawing lines that are sort of parallel, but they're not. They're actually going apart. The further down the road you get, the further apart you get, and the potential for reconciliation, you know, that becomes more tedious at that point. So, you know, have a conversation, and if you both agree, like, there's an impasse, there's no changing, then maybe you each, you know, maybe together you strategize what's our exit strategy then, because it's probably not good for either party. You know, if one person's feeling the tension and the stress and the pull, most likely the other person is as well. So that's kind of my first thought is, like, have a conversation, mm-hmm. like talk through it, work towards the best possible outcome.
Yeah.
And if there isn't one, if there's not a meeting of the minds, then don't keep heading down that road if you can help it at all.
Yeah. And I think maybe even just maybe to provide some further clarity to, I'm even thinking like, you know, if you're listening today and you are in a marriage with a non-believer and you're going, you know, again, there's been lots of conversations I've had over the years where, hey, got married, I came to faith. Years into our marriage, my spouse is not anywhere remotely interested, but I'm walking this road with Jesus, and yep. you're yoked with that other person. You're in a life setting or a life setting direction or direction setting relationship with your spouse. The encouragement that we're not giving is you should divorce your spouse.
Yeah, let's be clear. If faith is important to you, which means the guidance of Scripture should be important to you.
Yeah.
On that particular thing, Scripture is pretty clear,
right.
That, you know, you don't abandon a non-believer.
Yeah.
And say like, wow, we're unequally yoked. So that's my out clause. Actually, right. Scripture does not teach that. It teaches just the opposite. It teaches that you should stay and be a witness there, mm-hmm. and be the godly spouse that God calls you to be.
Yeah.
Not because your spouse is, but because that's your commitment before the Lord.
Yeah.
So it's first and foremost, that's my commitment to God, and I'm going to try and live that out as best I can with a spouse who
absolutely
may not be on the same page, but I'm hoping that my faithfulness and my example is a message to them that has a positive impact.
Yeah, that's great. I think that's a good and important distinction to make. Would you say, Steve, like when we're thinking through direction-setting relationships, if we're starting with our first and most important direction-setting relationship with us, which is our relationship with Christ, how does that impact our decisions on choosing people that we're placing in our life and going, hey, yeah, I'm going to follow you in your footsteps. I'm going to partner with you. I'm going to use the terminology we've been using with the whole yoke. Like, I'm going to place my yoke on me and you. We're going to head down this road together. How does, in light of our relationship with Christ, if we're prioritizing that first, how does that impact how we approach other relationships?
Well, that's a great question. And it kind of goes back to your question, like, you know, who am I attracting around me and et cetera. So I think, you know, you can have two people of faith
mm-hmm.
that wouldn't be a good fit
because
they're not equally yoked, not from a faith standpoint, but from a calling or opportunity standpoint. So an example would be, you know, one person who feels called to foreign missions and another person who's like, not at all.
Yeah.
And like, they could both be strong believers, yes. but that's probably not going to be a good connection. So
really
I think, you know, and you put it well, our first priority direction setting relationship is our relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
And so I've heard it put this way. You said original to me. I don't think this is original to me, but anyway, the best thing to do is to understand, God's calling and direction in your life.
Yes.
Pursue that and look around you and see who happens to be on the same road as you.
Yeah.
And consider that. So, you know, maybe you feel really called to a particular location or particular lane of life. I'll put it that way. Maybe it's a ministry thing. Maybe it's in the community thing, you know, whatever it is, these are my passions. These are my callings. This is what I see God doing in my life and me doing with him. This is my pursuit of God. And wow, look to my right or my left.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, there's a pretty attractive person that's traveling the same road as me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's a really good strategy.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that it's always that straightforward
yeah.
either. I think a lot of times some of that is realized through conversation and through just the growth of relationship and the influence we have on one another, hopefully in a positive way.
Yeah.
You know, where, you know, we connect with a person like, yeah, I've been trying to figure out what God's calling me to or you know, what God's up to. Yeah. I've heard someone else put it this way, you know, look around you, see what God's up to, and just join him in the mission. And then look around you and see who's also joined in that mission. So I think that's, I think that should be first and foremost is pursue what God has for you and see who he seems to put alongside you in that.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. And I think maybe another thing to consider is, you know, for you, and maybe you're going, hey, I have connected or hitched my wagon to some people that I'm realizing now are not heading in a good direction. Like I'm prioritizing my relationship with Christ and am seeing some discrepancies in this other person's life going, hey, they're not heading in a direction that I need to be going. I do wonder sometimes, you know, why do we place our yoke on other people and head in a direction? I think sometimes, even just practically speaking, we are made in the image of God. God is highly relational, and we want to be in relationship with other people. And sometimes the fear of being alone causes us to follow people or involve ourselves in other people in their life and where they're heading in ways that we shouldn't, simply because we're afraid of not having anybody.
I think too, you know, we can, go ahead, finish.
No, I just think there's something to be said for part of this journey for you might be marked by a period of walking in solitude, not isolation, not being, truly alone. But I think sometimes this walk of faith can be one that is sometimes marked by truly resting in the Lord, whether that means you've got a bunch of people around you or not. And I just find this so encouraging. Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew says, you know, come to me, all who are burdened and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And then he sort of uses something that doesn't really make sense, but in God's economy, it does. Take my yoke upon you. So this thing that was used for work and labor, he says, take it upon you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's Matthew 11:29-30. And I think that's where we got to start. Whether you have people in your life that are really positive direction setting relationships or not, first and foremost, we need to make sure that our priority relationship is with Christ, and that we're carrying his yoke upon us and making our decisions first and foremost on that rest that we have in him.
I would say too, keep in mind that we're all imperfect people. And you know, sometimes we need to have a you know, a long range view of things. So, you know, if I'm in a relationship with a person and they mess up, like, oh, I've just, you know, we have to see a little bit bigger picture, longer term than that. You know, I don't think the goal is to look for your out. I think it's, you know, you look for the positive, look for the growth, look for the ways that you're moving forward together rather than, you know, because all of us are sinful. All of us make mistakes. All of us, have the opportunity to not do something the right way. And so, you know, don't, be a person of grace in those situations. Not that we just dismiss or overlook, things, but can we help a person grow, and can we extend grace, and is forgiveness part of our toolbox at all? It should be. And that helps build stronger relationships long term. So keep that in mind as you're maybe struggling or thinking about who are those relationships in my life, and is there any adjustment that's needed along the way. What do I need to adjust so that I'm really setting myself and those closest to me up for success in this area? Mm-hmm. And I think if you're intentional about that, you're relying on the, you know, the wisdom and the principles in scripture, man, you're in a great spot for some really good stuff.
Amen. Well, that's all the time we have for today. As a lot of these, I feel like we could continue talking about this, but I think just simple takeaway today. One, rest in your relationship with Christ. Know that he's the one that said, come to me, all who are burdened, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. That's his heart for you today, is that you experience true rest in him, that no matter where you found yourself, no matter who you're in relationship with, God is bigger.